But turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 4. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 4. Yep, that's what I figured. This weekend, we celebrate Memorial Day, and I appreciate a pastor's emphasis today in putting that in the forefront of our thinking, that Veterans Day is to honor those who are currently serving or who have served, and Memorial Day is the time that we honor those who gave their lives in service for our country. But why would a Memorial Day be necessary? Well, because our forgetter works better than our rememberer a lot of times, right? I know that's not the best grammar, but I think you can all identify with that. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, we're going to look at this as our jumping off point here. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, specially the day. Now here he's going to give a special day for the nation of Israel, but for us there are other special days, but specially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather the people together, and I will make them to hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Of course, verse 10 here, I think, refers back to Exodus 19 and 20. I think the entire nation of Israel heard the voice of God when he gave the Ten Commandments there, and then Moses went up on the mountain and got additional information. But in the honor of this Memorial Day weekend, I want to look at this topic for our service tonight. Don't forget to remember. Can you handle that? Don't forget to remember. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your word. Thank you for its practicality and its depth and how it meets each of our needs. And Lord, I pray that your word will do what our own wisdom cannot. And we pray that your power and blessing will be upon every aspect of the preaching. In Jesus' name, amen. This year, 2024, in, I don't know, about a week or 10 days now, I guess, June the 6th will be 80 years from the original D-Day invasion. D-Day was June the 6th, 1944. Now, most of us learned about that in our history books. Okay, I won't point out those here who may or may not have been alive at that point in time, but there might be a few. But for most of us, that was purely history. Now, some of you may think, history, that's my favorite subject. Okay, for others of you, you're like, oh boy, history, cure for insomnia. And honestly, I have more appreciation for history now than I did when I was a elementary, junior high, or high school student, granted. But D-Day was a very significant time in World War II. In World War II, Hitler and Germany and that coalition was making a bid to take over Europe and basically to take over the civilized world. They were attacking Europe on one side, the Soviet Union on the other side. And our world today could look a lot different had World War II gone differently. And it was a protracted battle, started in 1941, so 1944 is 3 years in. But this is different from our way of thinking. There are no satellite or laser-guided weapons. There were no satellites in orbit at that point. You know, the space rockets being launched into space is not really a thing at that point in history. And so, I mean, radio was advanced communication at that point. Well, meticulous planning went into this event, and as I understand it, the planning really started in earnest almost a year before the invasion at D-Day. And there was large international coordination. The majority of the troops came from America, Britain, and Canada, but there was probably 10 or 12 other nations whose troops participated in the D-Day invasion. But prior to that, there was a misinformation campaign. They had to convince Hitler and his allies that their approach was coming from a different direction while they amassed forces in Britain and then took them across to France to begin that invasion. But on D-Day, right around midnight, there were about 18,000 troops that were dropped out of perfectly good airplanes in the middle of the night and went in to kind of prepare the way. The next day, another 132,000 troops were brought to shore on different floating vessels, boats, and different Navy vessels. 150,000 troops in this one attack, well, five different points, five different beaches on the coast of France. As Pastor mentioned earlier, 2,500 Americans died on D-Day. But on that first day alone, there were 4,400 who died. So there was another 2,000 from other nations who died on D-Day as well, in addition to the 2,500 Americans. It's tragic. And if you ever look at historical records of that, or maybe video footage or recreations, it's just incredible the tenacity and the commitment that went into that kind of invasion. Several years ago, our family had the opportunity to go to the National D-Day Memorial. That is actually in Bedford, Virginia, which is right outside of Roanoke, Virginia. So for those of you that go up and down I-81, you go through Roanoke, Virginia. And just south of I-81, there are a little ways, is Bedford, Virginia, is the National D-Day Memorial. Why Bedford, Virginia? Because there were more Americans per capita from Bedford, Virginia than from any other place who died in the D-Day invasion. They have some really interesting displays, and of course the guides will tell you stories, and they have certain things kind of recreated to help you picture a little bit of what that would be like. But climbing up a cliff face into machine gun fire, and when one guy gets shot down, the next guy sticks his head up anyway. Tremendous courage and commitment for our freedoms. But as I look at faces, for most of us, that's not top of mind familiar. If we've heard it, we forgot it. I read it somewhere, I heard it somewhere, you know, oh yeah, that sounds familiar. But we need to be reminded on purpose of these kinds of things. When you hear about this kind of an event and that kind of commitment from military forces around the world for the cause of freedom, if you have any sort of pulse in your heart, it should make you respond. It should make you respond with gratitude. It should make you respond with respect. It makes me respond with a sense of, I want to do something with the freedom that is commensurate with what they fought for. But remembering should have an effect. There's a reason that God told His children over and over and over again to remember. Now, have any of you, of whatever age in here, ever heard your parents say something like this? If I've told you once, I've told you 100 times. Ever heard something like that? Ever said something like that? If God says something 100 times, you think that's important? Yeah. In fact, there's a term in the Bible that was stated 119 times. But that's actually the term forgive. The word forgive 119 times. The term remember or remembrance is 261 times in the Bible. In other words, remember is, we're told to remember twice as many times as we're told to forgive. Put it in that perspective. I'm just trying to say that there is importance that God attaches to the idea of remembering. If you add in the times that we're told that the word forget is mentioned, and very often the concept of remembering is said differently, it's said forget not, don't forget. When you add those in, you get, you know, you can get 300 or 400 times where this concept of remembering or a memorial comes up. The main Old Testament word that means remember, and pretty much every time I found where the word was used, it was the same root word. It has 2 or 3 different meanings. One of them is just simply kind of factual. Oh yeah, I remember this answer. Yeah, I remember I have an exam next week. Oh yeah, I remember I got to go get an oil change. It's factual. And then there's a second use of the word where remembering causes us to do something about it. Oh yeah, the doctor's appointment is today. I got to, you know, grab my keys and grab my stuff, and I got 20 minutes to get there. Or they're going to charge me for an appointment that gets canceled. You know, there's remembering that causes action, right? There's factual remembering. There's remembering that causes action. And then there's remembering in the sense of kind of review or repeating. But I want us to see here from the scriptures tonight this theme, don't forget to remember. First of all, I want you to see with me admonitions to remember. An admonition is a reminder, or in some cases, a command. Admonitions to remember. We saw here in Deuteronomy chapter 4, it was basically, lest thou forget. But in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 15, we read this, remember, thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through the mighty hand and through stretched out arms. What are we supposed to remember? Several things to remember. Number one, remember God's past works. Here in Deuteronomy 5, Israel was to remember that God had brought them out of the land of Egypt. Deuteronomy 16, verse 3, thou shalt eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread, even the bread of affliction. For thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember the day when thou came forth out of the land of Egypt. Deuteronomy 16, verse 12, thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt. And in that context, it was a command to remember the feasts that God had laid out, several of the feasts that he had appointed to Israel. But what are we supposed to remember? Several things. One of them is God's past works. Why? Well, we'll talk about that in the next point, but we're to remember what God has done. And when we remember, just like we remember the sacrifices of our military, if we remember the works of God, it should have an effect on us in a similar way. But we should remember God's past works. We should also remember God's promises. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, why am I in Deuteronomy? Well, for one, because there's not much fear of overlapping with what somebody else has preached if I preach from Deuteronomy, okay? Except for possibly Dr. Love, okay? But for two, of the 207 times that the term remember is used in the Old Testament, 10% of those are in Deuteronomy. In other words, Deuteronomy was a book of remembering or reminding, or hey, don't forget this. This is at the end of Moses' life. I think all the events in the book of Deuteronomy probably happened in a month's time. He knows he's at the end of his life. God gave him a couple of victories over some enemies to give them confidence going over. Moses rehearses the law, reminds them of things, gives some instructions to Joshua, and then God buries him. And it all happened, I think, in a very short amount of time. But the theme of Deuteronomy is to remember. But in Deuteronomy chapter 7, in verse number 17, if thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? In other words, if you doubt, if you question, how are we going to conquer this land? Verse 18, thou shalt not be afraid of them, but thou shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt. I think that goes in the category of both remembering God's works and remembering God's promises. Because God has promised them, I'm going to give you this land and nobody's going to be able to stand in front of you, and everything that I promised you, you're going to have. And here in Deuteronomy chapter 7, he says, if you doubt if my promise is going to come to pass, then remember what I've already done. Remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh. So we should remember God's promises. We should remember God's past works. We should also remember God's warning. In Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 9, we read this, remember what the Lord thy God did unto Miriam by the way after that you were come forth out of Egypt. What happened to Miriam when she got a little attitude with little brother? You know, Aaron and Miriam got a little attitude with their younger brother. How did God judge Miriam? Leprosy. Which was, in that day, one of the harshest forms of punishment, because medically, in that day, there was no cure, there was no treatment. It was a death sentence. It was a living death sentence. And so, remember God's warnings. By God saying, remember what God did unto Miriam, what is he doing? He's warning Israel not to rebel against God's authority and against God's directions. Also, we need to remember our dependence. In Deuteronomy 24 and verse 9, we read about Miriam. But a little bit further down in the chapter, Deuteronomy 24 and verse 18, we read this. Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt. We back up to verse 17. Thou shalt not pervert the judgment of the stranger, nor the fatherless, nor take a widow's raiment to pledge. But thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee thence. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. We are to treat others with honesty and integrity and respect because we weren't always in a position of power. We weren't always in a position of advantage. And God says, you remember what it was like to be mistreated, and then you don't do that to your neighbor. But we're to remember our own dependence. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou would keep his commandments or not. Along with that, God fed them with manna in the wilderness, and their shoes didn't wear out, and their clothes didn't wear out. And somehow or another, there was enough water and food for their animals to stay alive, and all of those things. They were to remember their dependence on God. In the New Testament, we're told this, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, wherefore remember that ye being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh. And we'll talk about it a little bit more later on, but basically that concept teaches us that, you know, we were not in, if I could say it this way, the privileged group, and God extended grace to us. So we see, first of all, admonitions to remember. What does that mean? It means to call to mind and then to act on it. So number one, you have admonitions. Number two, we see actions of remembering. In other words, I shouldn't just think about it. I should do something about it. All right, any of you ever use the to-do list or the reminder app on your phone? Or you got one on your computer? All right, some people live by that. But you know, there are others who have learned that they can ignore that just as well as they can post-it notes. That reminder pops up. Oh yeah. Okay. Oh yeah, I'll do that later. And after a while, the reminder has zero effect, because you've learned to ignore that, just like you learn to ignore the post-it notes or the note on the calendar, or you know, whatever your the note on the bathroom mirror, whatever your system is. Tie a string around my finger, but I don't remember why. See, the act of remembering should cause me to follow up. There should be a follow-up action. I mean, that's the idea here. What effect should remembering bring? The actions of remembering. Remembering should bring gratitude, number one. What are the actions of remembering? Well, remembering should bring gratitude. In Exodus chapter 12, God told Moses, and this shall be for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout all your generations. What feast was being talked about in Exodus chapter 12? That was the Passover. The Passover was an action they were to take that should cause them to reflect and be thankful. We as the New Testament church participate in a small sliver of that, right? The Lord's Supper, or the Lord's table, as it's commonly called, was instituted by the Lord Jesus Christ as one small piece of his observance of the Passover with his disciples the night before his crucifixion. We still do the remembering in part of the Passover. And when we remember the Passover and when we remember the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, it should bring us to a point of gratitude, should it not? Wow. Why would Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, offer himself for me? That ought to bring gratitude. Why would I, as a Gentile, be brought into the family of God, like Ephesians chapter 2? Why would I be allowed these privileges? But remembering should cause us gratitude. Remembering, what a second effect that it should have on us is humility. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Now we'll time out right there. Circumcision, uncircumcision, basically if I could put it in today's terms, it was the cool kids and the rest of them. It was the important people and the also-rans. It was the leadership or the important folks, and it was the little people. And the recipients of Ephesians, the Gentile believers, were not part of the in crowd. They were part of the little people crowd. He said, wherefore remember that in time past you were called uncircumcision. You were looked down upon. Verse 12, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 goes on to say, who had made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us. In other words, everybody's on equal standing. There's no high society, low society when it comes to those who have trusted Christ. We're all of equal standing and equal value. But for me, that brings an extra reminder of humility. Hey, I wasn't part of the in crowd. I have no Jewish heritage. I wasn't part of that group. And yet God extended his grace and his salvation. But if we expand it back out to the other things we're supposed to remember, God's promises and God's works and God's doings, what did I do to deserve those things? Nothing. And as much as you want to think, well, yeah, that's you, but I did deserve that. None of us are worthy of any of the goodness of the Lord, are we? And as we begin to reflect and say, wow, you know, maybe some things I get used to, but God has blessed me with this, and he's blessed me with this, and he's allowed me this, and he's brought me to be a part of this. Remembering should bring gratitude. Remembering should bring humility. Remembering should bring perspective. I'm nothing, but Christ is everything. That's why John the Baptist said, he must increase, and I must decrease. Remembrance brings perspective. I mean, today, if you get into a spot, I can tell you a couple of spots on some of the main roads in Shelby where my cellular service is garbage. And I happen to be at a stop sign or traffic light. I'm like, okay, I'm going to check this message that I got a minute ago. And the service is garbage. Now, I can be really, really frustrated. Step back and get a little perspective and say, it's first world problems. I'm driving a temperature-controlled, motorized vehicle, and if I move a couple hundred yards that way, I'll get a signal again. You know, it really is first-world problems. You know what that's called? That's perspective. But in the day-to-day things of life, it's easy to get wrapped up in our goals, our frustrations, our accomplishments, or our lack thereof, and have a distorted perspective. But when I back up and see, wow, I'm a child of God. God has saved me. God has blessed me. God has given me all of these things. God's allowed me to live in the United States of America. And as I look at other countries on the face of the earth and see that most don't have the liberties and freedoms and opportunities that we have, whatever we think of our current political state, it's still a great opportunity that God's blessed us with. It gives me perspective. Remembering should bring gratitude, should bring humility, should bring perspective. Remembering also gives an opportunity for teaching. And we already read Exodus 12 where God told Moses that Passover would be a memorial. And when the kids, in part of those instructions, it said, and when your children should say, why do we do this? You know what that tells me? Kids have not changed in 4,000 years. Why do we have to do this? Why do we have to say that? Why do we have to read this? Well, let me tell you, there's a reason for it. Let me tell you what it is. For the Israelites, it was an opportunity for them to review what God had done in bringing them out of Egypt. In Joshua chapter 4 and verse number 7, then shall ye answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. In that passage in Joshua chapter 4, it also says, so when your children ask, what is this for? You'll have an opportunity to teach. Remembering gives teaching moments. It can be teaching moments about biblical principles. It can be teaching moments about doctrine. It can be teaching moments about family history, teaching moments about, you know, proper conduct, all kinds of things. But action should cause gratitude, humility, perspective, teaching, and in some cases, remembering should probably bring repentance. Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent." There are times when remembering means I've got to make a course correction. I got to fix some things. I got to make an adjustment. I got to repent. And there's repentance for salvation that's necessary. But the Bible also clearly teaches that repentance is necessary on the part of God's child too. There's both aspects of repentance are taught in the New Testament. And people get confused when they mix one with the other. But for us, there's times when I just have to say, look, I was wrong. I got to fix this. That's what remembering does. See, the admonitions to remember. We see the actions of remembering. And number three, I want you to see with me the aftermath of forgetting. Okay, if we fail to remember, what happens when we forget? Well, forgetting leads to, number one, sin or straying from God's word. Deuteronomy 8 again, verse 19, "It shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish." That just seems crazy, doesn't it? That God would bring them out of Egypt, that he would feed them with manna for 40 years and quails and take care of them and all the miracles that he did. Then he would help them to cross the Jordan and help them to conquer Jericho, conquer all the promised land. And then they would say, you know what? The gods of the people here are better than the God that brought us out of Egypt. But that's what happened. And God specifically warned them about it before it happened. "Lest thou forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods." Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 32 uses a very well-known scenario to illustrate this point. Jeremiah 2, verse 32. "Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire?" Now, there are days when you're just rushed. Oh, I forgot my coat, I forgot my tie, I forgot my watch. Okay, but if the decorations, if I could say it that way, are going to be forgotten, who's more likely to forget it, the men or the ladies? Yeah, the men, exactly. Now, I've seen that, but or can a bride forget her attire? You ever been to a wedding? And the bride's like, "Oh, that's what I forgot, the wedding dress. I'm just going to wear this one. It'll be fine." Yeah, you're laughing at me like you're nuts. That wedding will be 3 hours late if she has to go that far to get it and bring it back, right? That's the last thing that is going to happen is the bride's going to forget that dress that she spent way too many hours picking out and designing and getting, you know, fixed up just right and all of the other things to complement it and go with the wedding party and all of that. If something gets forgotten, it's not going to be the wedding garments. In other words, those are duh moments. Of course you're not going to forget that. And then the comparison is made by God through Jeremiah to another duh moment. Jeremiah 2, verse 32. "Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number." God said, just as much as a bride's not going to forget her wedding dress, for the children of God to forget about their heavenly Father, that should be a duh, that would never happen moment, but it did. You see, if we fail to remember, it can lead us to a place of forgetting God's works, forgetting God's person. What are the aftermath of forgetting? What leads to straying from God's word? It also leads to pride. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 14, "Then thine heart shall be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Hey, look at us. We're in charge. This is our land. No. It was God that brought you out. You were the smallest, weakest, most pitiful group, and God used you to prove it was his power, not yours, and don't you ever forget it. But when they forgot it, what happened? The pride. It says their heart was lifted up. When God gave three categories of sin, you know, three major categories that all pretty much every offense falls into: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and what's the third category? We will never get away from that battle. But if we forget God, we forget His Word, we forget to consciously remember things in the Scripture, it leads to pride and a wrong perspective. What else happens if we forget? Punishment. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected my knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt no more be a priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." When they forgot God's word, God said He would forget them. That's punishment. That's chastening. James chapter 1, we read this: "Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a," what kind of hearer? "Forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man should be blessed in his deed." But the forgetful hearer is not blessed of God. It is possible. So what happens? Straying from God's word, pride, punishment, all kinds of bad things. What are the pitfalls of forgetting? What's the aftermath of forgetting? We end up in a place we don't want to be. Out of fellowship with God, a poor testimony, under God's chastening instead of under God's blessing. "But I didn't mean to be here." Yeah, but did you forget to remember? What causes us to forget? Well, I asked Google that and got some interesting answers. You know, some of it had to do with alcohol and drugs, and I'm just going to assume that that's not the problem for the majority of folks here. Okay? But, you know, there were other things that were listed. But, you know, physical health can affect it sometimes. Not getting enough sleep. You know, if you're working on sleep deprivation, your memory doesn't work as sharp. All God's students said, amen right there, right? You know, don't exercise, some physical things like that. There are things like that that cause us to forget. If I could add some things to that, I would just say that busyness causes us to forget. I got so busy that I didn't spend a lot of time dwelling on that. All right? Here's the thing. Sometimes we think there's this concept of photographic memory. There really isn't. Sometimes that's just a matter of the attention that was paid to it. But also, the way our human brains are wired, in order for us to remember something, we have to review it until, in essence, we kind of wear a groove. You ever walk through the woods and you walk the same path enough times that it kind of wears away, and now you've got a dirt path where there were leaves or scrub or whatever? Your memory kind of works the same way. And there are times, there are things that we have to remember on purpose, or review, if I could say it that way. You ever tried to learn a memory verse, whether it's for Master Club or just for your own benefit? You ever tried to learn a memory verse? You read it the first time, you think you got it, and you come back the next day, and I'm at the right address, but the house looks different. You know, I can't remember anything. It takes repetition, review, to drill it in. In the same way, what causes me to forget? The busyness of life and the constant go, 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 go kind of crowds out that intentional digging in of, you know, making myself slow down and think about and dwell on and remember certain things. Sometimes it's just a matter of time. Just like we talked about in the opening, it's been 80 years since D-Day. Time causes things to fade, and sometimes that's a good thing. You know, when we have a traumatic experience, or maybe there's a time of grief or loss, I mean, those are very real feelings. But I think it's partly the mercy of God that over time those things can begin to fade. Not that we ever forget our loved one or forget what happened, but the intensity of that kind of tends to fade. It's the way we're wired. In some cases, the forgetting of those things, or at least the lessening of the intensity, is the mercy of God. But what that means is, if we're wired that way, you're not going to remember the things you're supposed to unless you remember on purpose. Unless you review, review, review. Remind yourself. You know, it's kind of interesting what Google said. How do I minimize forgetting? Well, exercise, get plenty of sleep, rehearse the information. Sometimes the best way to commit something to memory is to use the old standby, rehearse it, go over and over and over it repeatedly. And then the next suggestion, write it down. A short pencil is better than a long memory, right? Eventually, you're going to forget. You're going to forget something. That's why God wrote things down for us, right? God gave it to Moses and said, write this down. And then he told Joshua, you rehearse it in the ears of the people. You know what rehearse means? Review. You go over it and over it and over it. I've read my Bible once. Good. You remember everything? No. Well, then read it again. I've read it twice. You remember everything? No. Well, then read it again. I've read my Bible 40 times in my lifetime, and I can't believe I just never paid attention to this, right? We don't ever get it all. We need to review. But what I'm saying is don't forget to remember. You're not going to remember historical facts unless you review them and really get them down, and sometimes unless something brings it back to mind. We don't remember all the details of the battles. Your pastor mentioned several others earlier in the service. We don't remember all those things unless we rehearse them, we review them, we bring them to mind. And guess what? We don't remember God's promises. We don't remember God's warnings. We don't remember the examples unless we review on purpose. We have a time set aside to remember what God did in the history of our country. But as God's children, we're commanded more times to remember or forget not than we are to forgive. Because God knows how we were. No, but if we're going to remember, it takes effort and intentionality. Write it down, review it, go over it. You'll learn where to find it if I can't call it to place all the time. God told his children over and over and over again, remember. Remember this admonition from the New Testament? Remember Lot's wife? It was an admonition on loving the world more than loving God. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Israel was told that. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 9, Jesus got on to his disciples because they didn't remember the miracle of Jesus. Remembering and forgetting, I mean, that's not a new concept. Some of the things we're reading are 3,000 or 4,000 years old. The truth is the same today. If we're going to remember, we have to do it on purpose. We have to review. We have to remind ourselves. We have to be reminded. But when we do, it can't just be factual information. It can't just be an admonition to remember. There has to be an action of remembering. It causes me to serve God. It causes me to show gratitude. It causes me to respond in humility. Remembering causes me to act upon the truth of which I was reminded, or it should. See, I'm not a doer of the work if I just remember the fact and I don't act on it, right? Remember has to do with fact, but it also has to do with acting on it. I got a test tomorrow. Oh, well. Or I got a test tomorrow. Where's my notes? I got to study. See the difference? In one case, I'm acting on what I remembered. But it's far more important that we put ourselves in a place to be reminded. How am I going to be reminded of God's word? Well, you're going to be at church like you are tonight. That's a good thing. But you're going to have your own nose in it for yourself on a regular basis. I'm going to have to put myself in a place to be reminded, but we also have to purpose in our heart that I'm going to respond when I'm reminded. Even if that means I have to humble myself, I have to repent, I have to admit that I got off track and I got to get back to it, don't forget to remember. Let's bow for prayer. My challenge to you tonight is just simply that you would on purpose remember the goodness of God. Remind yourselves of the commands of God, and then purpose that you will humble yourself to obey as God reminds you of things. Nothing new, nothing earth-shattering, but something we need on a regular basis. Lord, thank you for your word. We thank you for your admonitions to remember. Thank you that you've written it down for us, given us an accurate copy that we can have. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to remember, and Lord, to act appropriately, not just to have the facts. We pray you'd bless now in the close of this service, in Jesus' name.